and good morning. I'm joined by Bill Maupin and by John Billups. John is the mayor of the city of Burlington. Former employee here. I think he's going to get his job back or something. I'm not sure if that... Are you working here yet, or have you started working here again or not?
I don't know if it keeps up. am I on the air tomorrow, too?
I think you're safe for a couple of weeks anyway. But Bill is... We were talking... Actually, he was here yesterday. We were talking about the fact that, now is the time for the call for candidates for city council to step up and make their voices heard and to pick up nominating papers.
Sure.
What do you need to do? How many signatures do you need?
You need 40 signatures, and you can pick the papers up at the county auditor's office, or you can download them off the Secretary of State's page. There's two forms you need. You'll need three forms. There's 40 signatures, and then there's a certificate of candidacy, a form that you'll need to download. Now, there's three seats open at this upcoming election, plus we'll have the lost, which is our local option sales tax, back on the ballot, as it is every 10 years. We really depend on that local option sales tax, so please get out and support that. It's done a lot of good works in the city, with half of it going to property tax relief. We have three candidates three seats that are up for election. Mine, Mayor Pro Tem Linda Graham Murray, and Matt Rinker. So I don't know what their intentions are. I've heard a couple of people announcing candidates, and I know it's weird to be out recruiting candidates, but I'd like Burlington to have as much selection as I can. So, if you have a hankering, if you have any questions, you can call any of the councilmen, and they'll be happy to tell you what the time commitment and what their experience is. I am planning on filing my papers. I turned them in February.
Okay.
And they gave them back, which is not a good omen, because I wasn't supposed to turn them in until August.
Okay.
But, I'm not sure where Matt and Linda are, but we'd like to have a lot of candidates. When I came in, there was 14 candidates for three seats.
Yeah.
That was a good deal, because we had a lot of good, healthy debate.
You know, how much has the pandemic, has it changed anything in terms of people interest in serving and being a part of government, do you think, or not?
I don't know. Actually, last year during COVID, we filled a lot of our boards and commissions that we have for the city. We still have a couple openings. And so if you're interested in maybe not serving on council, but helping us with decisions, almost all our decisions come from the committees and the commissions and boards. And so if you want to jump on one of those, you can go on the website, and there's a link there. You can look and see which boards have vacancies, or if you see a board you'd like to be on, vacancies come up all the time, and you can download an application there. So last year was different because we did have people fill in some holes of our committees and commissions and boards. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, last year was a different year. I was just talking to Bill about all the plans I had last year, and I said it was supposed to be the grand European vacation. Obviously, that didn't happen, and we were discussing my Norwegian heritage and how some of the crazy things. The generations, each generation, your surname changes in Norway. So you can't do that. And you can't. I think that Norway has changed that policy. I don't think that's in, because I think there seems to be, it's very hard to track genealogy when the surname is changing every single generation.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Bill, how did you decide to become a council member or to run for council? Hold on a second. Let me get your mic on.
There. Okay.
There we go.
I always wanted to do it. And this last time, my wife, she really started pushing me. Go ahead and do it. She knew that, my educational career is going to be start winding down here in a couple years. And I'd better get in and do this now. And it's been a great experience. It was more time consuming than what I had anticipated when you're doing the reading and everything of the packets. But always wanted to do it. Like we were talking earlier, my family's been here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give back. And this was one way I thought I could do that.
Well, my father was a four-term mayor. It was a mayor council form of government up in Decorah, which Chad Burt is coming from anyway. But he was a four-term mayor. We were born when he was the mayor. Mayor has twins is what headlined in the Republic opinion. Well, not a headline, but it was on the front page of the Decorah Public Opinion. I don't know, but all my sisters. I keep forgetting. I've got four sisters and no brothers, and I've got three daughters and no sons. And I do have two grandsons, but they all rode in the 1949 automobile in the 1949 Centennial, Decorah Centennial, and there's pictures of them all as they were the first. Right behind the honor guard came the mayor and his family. I don't know. Have you been in a parade yet? Have you been?
No, because Steamboat Days didn't have a parade, and COVID last year there was no holiday parade. I had to talk Bill off the ledge last year when they canceled the rodeo because, I mean, he was really despondent. You know, so last year everything was, the apple cart was upset.
Snowball was canceled.
Yeah, everything was, Snowball was canceled. I had to talk him off the ledge again. You know, but I don't think there's been any parades for us to be in. So, but, you know what? I was, I'm sorry about that. I was in a parade with, Linda and Shane because we rode with Shane as last year as mayor in the holiday parade. So, and you know what? I'd like to see council get together and do that again, ride in the parade together. And that was a lot of fun because I remember we lit the tree that night. I forgot all about that.
You know, it's interesting. We are right now 12 years away from the bicentennial, Burlington bicentennial. Believe it. I know.
Yeah.
12 years is 12 years, and who knows what sort of things may happen between now and 12 years from now. Yeah. But you know, I think that one of the things that really stands out to me is that I've always loved being here in Burlington, and it's always been, as I said, it's been people have said to me, why have you not, I remember the first thing I said to the first couple of days I was at the radio station. I'm at the Mark Twain restaurant where, next door to the radio station. Remember that? You remember where that was?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
And my, the guy that was training me for KBUR was, said, let's go out and have steak and eggs when we shut down at midnight. And I said, okay. So we went to the Mark Twain, which is open 24 hours a day in those days, and having steak and eggs. He says, so what do you want to do here? I said, well, I'd like to stay at least a year, but no more than two, because I don't want to get a reputation of jumping around.
I don't think you have that round at all.
No,
at all.
Well, every time I kept on, like 2 years comes up and I get all of a sudden I'm up the scale, promoted to program director for KGRS. And then two more years, and then a couple more years. Well, by that, a couple more years, then all of a sudden, then Dave Snyder says, well, you know what? You're doing great for KGRS. Let's have you run KBUR, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And anyways, next thing you know, you get married, you have kids. On the Steamboat Days board. I was on the community. I was Players Workshop, 50 different or 55 plays, I think it is, for the theater. You know, by the time you start adding all of the things that you've gotten and involved in, Convention and Tourism Bureau, I was on that for 12 years. I was on Leadership Burlington for a long. In fact, Steve Delaney and I were both on Leadership Burlington in the same class in 1987. But the thing is, the years go by, and it is a blink of your eye. And yes, once you become established, it becomes much more. Yeah, you want to, and especially if you enjoy doing it. Steamboat Days.
Yeah, I tell you what, my dad knew what he was doing because when he started his business here in '76, he was Stronghurst, and I was born in Burlington. And then when Dad started the business here, as a kid, I was 13. I was like, man, why Burlington? You could go to Florida, Texas, California, somewhere. But Dad knew that Burlington was going to be a good place to raise his family. And when I met Mitty, my wife, we're celebrating our 26 years in October because she had lived all over the place. I told her, I said, I'm probably never leaving Burlington unless it's in a box. And so, you know, I told her, I said, you're going to be with me. You need to be sure that you're in love with Burlington,
now,
too.
Now, my wife has said, given me the marching orders, so to speak, or at least the tentative marching orders, that when she's ready to retire, then she would like to go someplace warmer.
Well, that's all right. You can visit. Yeah, there's no way the radio station's letting you go.
Well, you know what? Everything is all to be determined, isn't it? But it's, you know, I know we're getting a little off. We're off the track.
Yeah,
we're reminiscing a bit, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think the fact is, what brings people to the town, what leads them to want to stay here. A lot of that actually goes into economic development. Mm-hmm. It goes into why people join council. It goes into why people have their lives here. And I've seen so many the faces I've seen that I've seen as blips on the radar that have been here a year, maybe two, and mm-hmm. then moved on. It's pretty much an endless stream. But I've also seen a lot of people that have been here for all the years that I've been here and beyond. And this is a town that I think when you're living here, you don't see it as well as mm-hmm. when people visit.
That's exactly right. We don't. We get so used to it that, because when I'm hiring people and people are coming into town for interviews, some of them from Illinois have said, oh, you know, you come in and it looks like a little European village stuck in the hills. And they go out and they see the golf course and they see our mm-hmm. parks and they see the recplex and the dome and all these things that we have to offer, you know, the theater,
yeah.
music.
Well, the thing that has also been unique, maybe not unique about Burlington, but it's got the terrain here is a beautiful terrain
mm-hmm.
and it does go up from. Pretty much everything leads up from the river, and we have, in fact,
and the Hawkeye Creek Valley.
We call it, and somebody says, I'm on Ragway. People tell me about your town. Tell me about where you're from. I said, well, I will say this: the town is known as it's. If you want to know where somebody's from, you say, well, where are you from? Where do you live? West Hill, South Hill, North Hill.
Mm-hmm. Downtown.
They said, well, where do you bike? I said, well, I start off right out of my neighborhood and it's just down Irish Ridge Hill. Then I go on Roller Coaster Hill
mm-hmm.
and I head over to the, Prairie Grove Hill. And then it's the Beaverdale Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, and one of the things we had a guy by the name of Whitey Clausen. You remember that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Whitey was a longtime engineer. What he did, and he is a clear example or one of the examples of why Ragbri works in Iowa but doesn't work anywhere else to that degree. What it is he created a network of paved farm-to-market roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's really... Iowa has the infrastructure package that we've got that hopefully will be coming up, but it has the largest network of paved farm-to-market roads in the entire United States. There are more farm-to-market paved roads in Iowa than in any other state of the Union. And that's the difference between these other rides, and we also have the ideal distribution of population. We have towns that are approximately... pretty much no matter where you're going, about every 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the far east, the eastern side, you might even have them closer together than that. But it's what has made, that's the secret behind the bike ride. But it's also the secret behind farmers getting their produce to market and all of the other things that go on. And bicycle, we've got bicycle trails. You can ride bicycle trails all over the world, all over the country. But you don't have to have a bicycle trail here because we've got low-density traffic, farm-to-market roads here. So that's one of the things that we also
have. It
all
goes back to the agricultural society that we live
in. It really is. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what it is. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. We'll try to talk about some city business, believe it or not, but we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this.
This, keep it on the down low here,
is the Dan Patrick Show.
The Atlanta Hawks were like the puppy that you like to pat on the head, and all of a sudden the Atlanta Hawks are not that cute little puppy anymore. They're a little bit scary. They don't know that they're supposed to lose. We assume, well, the Bucks, they're going to go to the NBA Finals, and they may go there. But not without a great fight.
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
It's Mattress Firm's semi-annual sale, where you can save up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $6.99 on Sealy. Or buy Tempur-Pedic and get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Shop Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more with our sleep experts today to find your best sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
You gotta snag Hefty's Ultra Strong Trash Bag. Always at an ultra-low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
It has Arm & Hammer odor control, so your nose and your wallet will be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Hefty strong all day long.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Start summer off hot with Catfish Bend Casino's $250,000 sizzling summer giveaway. Win prizes of $50 in free play up to $250,000 in cash. Earn entries all month long with every 50 points earned and 5 times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Check in for drawings each Friday to be held at 5, 5:30, 6, 6:30, and 7 p.m. If your name is drawn, select 5 beach balls. The number of flip-flops you reveal on your beach balls determines your prize. See player services for details. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino.
Ashley Home Store Stars and Stripes sale has been extended for one final week. Treat yourself to up to 45% savings on all things home. Plus, pay no interest for 6 whole years. Beat the summer heat and save $500 on select Tempur-Breeze cooling mattresses. Or take home a free $200 gift card with select Sealy mattress purchases. Don't miss the Stars and Stripes sale. Savings end Monday at Ashley Home Store. This is home. Financing is available with approved credit on qualifying purchases. See store for details.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Macomb man was injured following a single vehicle crash in McDonough County. According to a police report, a black 2008 Saturn sedan driven by 19-year-old Chauncey Ford of Macomb was traveling northbound on US 67 approaching the 136 junction. Ford failed to stop at a posted stop sign, crossed both lanes of US 136, and entered the north ditch. The vehicle became airborne and came to rest in a field. Ford was transported to a nearby hospital for treatment of his injuries. A popular ride at an Iowa amusement park has been shut down pending an investigation into an accident that killed an 11-year-old boy. Iowa Labor Commissioner Rod Roberts on Tuesday signed an order that bars Adventureland Park from operating the Raging River until an investigation is complete and all hazards are corrected. Adventureland, based in Altoona, has stopped operating the ride after Saturday night's accident in which a boat carrying a family of 6 flipped over. Michael Jeremio died Sunday from his injuries, and ABC's Good Morning America reported Tuesday that one of his brothers remains hospitalized in a medically induced coma. A Davenport man has been sentenced to 12 years in prison after pleading guilty to witness tampering. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
35-year-old Stephen Wayne Tolliver admits he hit a woman with the gun so hard she was knocked unconscious. In a plea agreement, Tolliver admits he made false accusations against the victim's family members, prompting investigations by Dubuque police and state social workers that ultimately cleared the family of any wrongdoing. According to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Tolliver also sent a threatening letter to the woman he assaulted.
An Iowa man is in custody after police found a rifle with a laser sight in a Chicago hotel room that overlooks a Lake Michigan beach and a major tourist attraction. Authorities say a member of the cleaning staff at the W Hotel told police on Sunday they observed the rifle, a handgun, and ammunition in the room occupied by 32-year-old Keegan Castile. Castile of Ankeny was arrested at the hotel and faces 2 counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Chris Foster. 10 more bodies are pulled from the rubble of a condo building in Surfside, Florida. It's now 46 deaths confirmed in the collapse that happened 2 weeks ago tonight. There's been a lot of rain along Florida's west coast from Tropical Storm Elsa, but Governor Ron DeSantis says so far the storm's impact is less than expected.
We're fortunate. We saw a little bit of a wobble to the west when it was approaching Tampa Bay, which potentially minimized impacts there. It is going to go into our Big Bend area.
That's where landfall is expected in the next few hours. There are also tornado watches in effect. The president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, is assassinated. His wife is shot and wounded.
According to the country's interim prime minister, a group of individuals attacked their private residence this morning. Earlier in the year, Haitian authorities say they foiled an attempt to murder Moïse and overthrow his government in a dispute over when the term ends.
Fox's Lillian Wu. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Partly sunny skies. There are 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms developing this afternoon. A high to 87 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A 40% chance of more showers and thunderstorms. A low to 63. Partly sunny and cooler Thursday. High 77. Mostly clear Thursday night. Low down to 62. And Friday, partly sunny. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A high of 83. And right now, we've got skies that are partly sunny, 77 degrees. Weather brought to you by Southeast Iowa Regional Airport and Air Choice One, making your travels easy, flying from Burlington to St. Louis and Chicago daily.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. The NASDAQ opened at a fresh all-time high this morning on Wall Street, and all the major indexes are slightly higher out of the gate. Investors keeping their eyes on rising oil and gas prices and rising COVID cases in spots around the U.S. like Missouri. Investors also waiting for the Fed minutes from its June meeting. Those minutes come this afternoon. They read through those for any hints on when the Fed may target an interest rate increase. Mortgage applications sank to their lowest level last week since early 2020 before the pandemic as the housing market cools for home sales and refinances. Bitcoin ticking higher today, even with a fresh crackdown by China. Some say China won't matter. Bitcoin back up to near $35,000 again this morning, although it was much higher in the spring. Bitcoin hit about $60,000 back in April. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With VantagePoint, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, VantagePoint's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 now.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Recently, the Greater Burlington Partnership honored Standard of Beaverdale's beloved Ken Schwenker posthumously with the Spirit of Philanthropy Award. Supporting the community was and is very much at the heart of Standard of Beaverdale's culture. In the spirit of kin, the staff at Standard of Beaverdale encourage you to get out this summer and support great local events like Burlington Bees Games, Riverfront Concerts, and local festivals. Dine at local restaurants and, of course, shop local businesses. As Standard of Beaverdale continues to carry kin's legacy of generosity forward, they want to acknowledge it's really you, the customer, that makes this possible. As you shop for tools, appliances, TVs, Carhartt, lumber and building materials, and so much more at Standard of Beaverdale instead of a big box store, you help support your community. You may have seen Standard's name on your grandchild's Little League shirt or your cousin's race car. Now it's time to give Standard of Beaverdale a try. Their competitive pricing may surprise you. Shop Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
When there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and online at KBUR.com.
And yeah, good morning. It's 9:39. We've got the mayor of the city of Burlington. He's John Billups. Bill Maupin is a Bill, you're officially what is your official title with Notre Dame? Are you the superintendent of Notre Dame?
No. Our superintendent is up at the Diocese of Davenport. I'm the principal, the pre-K-12 principal at Notre Dame.
And you've been there. Now, how long have you been there?
Coming on 8 years.
Wow. Okay. So time does march on. And
he's the guy who runs things.
And John is the...
not the month of July.
You know, John's the development director. We were talking about things different in the summer, and summer's typically sort of a downtime. But it's also a time we were talking about homeless and... The fact is, homeless are everywhere. I don't know if it's any. Maybe is it worse in the summertime, or is it just more visible in the summertime?
Jeff? You know, I think it's more visible. Maybe you know, homeless. Every city has had issues with homelessness, and you know, we have the shelter, and then we have Des Moines County Transitions, and I know they both work hard, plus other agencies and churches, to help people. I think a big component of the homelessness issue right now is, of course, mental health illness. And, you know, I really liked Governor Branstad during his tenure as the governor, but the one thing that he did not do very well was mental health illness. He, you know, when he eviscerated that program, it really hurt all the communities. And the county, typically, mental health is more of a county situation. Now they're going to revert that back to the state. But, you know, the supervisors have done a lot of good work trying to mitigate that and help the agencies that work with that. But, yeah, you see more people, and it's heartbreaking to think that someone doesn't have a home.
It became a line item, basically, community-based mental health care, which is simply not possible, because that puts the pressure back right on. It puts it on the county, puts it on the city, and it puts it on your Great River Medical Center to try to do that. And they're having a tough enough, hospitals are having a tough enough time as well, just trying after, you know, they're trying to recover from COVID and deal with that and all of the things that goes into that. But mental health facilities, the fact is we lost both southern Iowa mental health facilities, one in Clarinda and one in Mount Pleasant.
Right.
Mount Pleasant one was particularly known for its substance abuse, and that treatment was something that was very important to. And there's no real place. We had people in before it happened. I had guests in talking about the fact that describing how they were saved and how they were able to be free from meth and other drugs.
Turn things around, and so boy, I hope that this last measure where the state is taking some of those things back over, that maybe that means that those facilities will reopen. Rather than putting it on the counties to all create their own program, maybe by the state running it, we'll go back to those. Let's hope.
I was going to ask you. Go ahead, Mo.
No.
Oh, you didn't. I was going to ask you about the, you know, as a year ago in the heart of COVID, everything shut. Well, we were all either shut down or very, very limited, and it has changed. It's changed fairly significantly. We're pretty much back to as close to normal as we can be, or very close to normal. How is that affected? And from a hotel motel tax, how is that? Has that come back in similar fashion?
We just received a report the other day that it's actually up about 40% over last year, which is no big surprise because last year was really curtailed. We're still running a little bit behind 2019, but it's rebounding nicely, and I think that's thanks to the Recplex, thanks to the turf facilities, and all the other things, the river, and all the other things that we have here. Our trails, Big Hollow Park, our parks, we're seeing a lot of rebound on those rooms.
Also by, and I had this discussion with Chad Bird, but by changing that formula, that our flood mitigation project formula, which was using sales tax revenue, by being able to utilize, we weren't able to utilize Amazon or online revenue. But by being able to do that, that has improved that fund, I know, at least significantly, or at least it's on the way up anyway.
Yeah, it's on the way back up where we're seeing that funding come back to the flood wall. So.
And we're seeing, in fact, in transportation surging. Try and find a rental car someplace.
I think people are getting back, you know, and being, comfortable going out, and more people are, you know, traveling and everything like that. So it's a very positive thing for our city.
Well, and I think I told John this. My daughter got married at one of the nicest places in Chicago, if not the nicest. Right in the heart of the financial district in downtown Chicago, and it was called Pazos, and it was all a very beautiful place. But this was a wedding venue. Her wedding was the first major wedding this past June, just a few weeks ago. Her wedding was the first major event in that facility since COVID shut it down on March 13th.
Yeah,
so they went that long without having any, and this place is it was always busy, apparently, from what I understand.
Yeah, COVID destroyed a lot of businesses' nest eggs, so and that's what those folks would have survived on. Without having weddings or anything, they were still trying to retain their employees, and they have to pay, if they had a mortgage on the place, they had to pay that.
Utilities. The owner was one of they had three bartenders on the open bar and his curved bar, and I said, you guys have really, this is the most meticulously well-organized, it's been like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. He said, we've been waiting for a long time. And I said, I'm going to guess that social media is how you get your number one advertising. He said, oh, far and away. Mm-hmm. If you have a beautiful facility, pictures are everything, and social media posts, that's how you get business.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And anyway, we're going to take another break. We'll be back. We'll talk more about the city and more about what else is on these guys' minds after this.
This is The Herd.
The winner in this is also
Colin Cowherd.
The Atlanta Hawks, they were sub-500 at the All-Star break. The Eastern Conference, it's bad. I mean, the Celtics got injuries. The Sixers got injuries. The Knicks can't shoot. Philadelphia can't shoot. And I'm left with Atlanta. These teams, they look like first round and outers in the West.
This is The Herd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
We are speaking with Nick from Diamond Vogel about Paint-A-Thon.
Diamond Vogel is a family owned company, and we are based in Iowa. We've been a part of the Burlington community for over 40 years. We are proud to support our neighbors and friends by making our town more beautiful. It's a great feeling being a part of the Paint-A-Thon.
What's involved in the paint aspect of Paint-A-Thon?
I meet with the homeowner personally, and they choose whatever color they like. We use quality products. Since our paint is manufactured in Iowa, the paint is made in the Midwest for the Midwest. I also meet with the team captains at the house, and we determine what prep work and what paint is needed for each area of the home. The volunteers are really the backbone of the Paint-A-Thon, and they do a wonderful job. Without them, there really wouldn't be a Paint-A-Thon.
Paint-A-Thon applications are available at Two Rivers Bank and Trust, Diamond Vogel Paint, and Community Action of Southeast Iowa. Applications should be postmarked no later than July 14th. Call Jim O'Neill to sign up a team or to request an application to have your house painted. 572-1176. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Join us for the Iowa Works and Pritchard Broadcasting Job Fair, July 15th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. The Heartland Harley-Davidson parking lot will be filled with a wide range of employers, recruiting for medical, restaurant, factory, retail, office openings, and so much more. If you're a job seeker, it's a great opportunity to network with several employers all in one place. There'll also be a resource center set up and a team to help you with applying, including an area for creating resumes. That's July 15th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Heartland Harley-Davidson parking lot.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
This U.S. Olympian turning away from the American flag and covering her head in a T-shirt while the national anthem played. You want to know why? Ratings from Major League Baseball to NBA basketball to NFL football, they're deteriorating. Now you add politics, now you put a big wedge in the middle of one of the most unifying moments this country, frankly, needs.
Sean Hannity, afternoons from 2 to 5 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KVUR.
And it is 9:48 at KBUR, and it is Welcome Back. Bill Maupin is a city council member. John Billups is the mayor of the city of Burlington. Both are affiliated with Notre Dame. John is the development director, and Bill is the principal for the K-12 program. And school is, we'll mention that for as long as we've got you guys here. as far as we know, school is going on as if COVID never existed. Is that pretty much the way to say it?
That's what we've been told so far.
And we're seeing that. Kinnick Stadium, I mentioned, I told John, I think it was about 6 months ago, you know, I tell you what, normal to me is a full Kinnick Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no restrictions on stadiums. And I wish we could get, hopefully the vaccination rate will rise a little bit. But maybe if it doesn't, you'll deal with that as it comes up. I'm not sure where we stand in this herd immunity. I'm not even sure what herd immunity is.
Yeah, I don't know how that works with your, if you've been vaccinated, do you have immunity or not? I mean, I don't know. I know that I had, like I said, I've been on record. I had COVID, and then I've been double vaxxed, and so hopefully I'm good to go. But I have family members that haven't been, and it's their personal decision, their judgment, and so you go from there and keep rolling.
Yeah, well, I know that there are a lot of there is the people that are It's like we're talking about it on the morning show ahead of me. It was talking about, okay, people say, no, I'm not going to get it. No, I'm not going to get it. And then if you sign up, you get free Cheetos for your rest of your life.
Yeah.
I'll get it. Or you can win $10 million.
Yeah, the incentivizing of it is a little
it
weird.
It is.
And it's desperate, let's put it that way.
Well, and I guess that's particularly, we're not doing too bad in Iowa, but I know a lot of these down by in the bayou and mm-hmm. the in the area down there, Mississippi, a lot of those places, Alabama, very, very slow to embrace vaccinations. I'm not sure what Florida is also one of those places as well, which you would think would be anytime you got a place that's being visited as much as that, wouldn't you think that would be a higher place? But
I think the one thing about the United States of America is all states are their own governments.
Yeah, that is true. You can't have states' rights. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you never know. I mean, I admired Governor Reynolds. I think she walked a very fine line and did the best she could versus maybe some of the other states that I wouldn't have agreed with their positions. But every state's different. So
yeah.
I think like Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, it depends on how hard their state government's pushing it.
The states that seem to have the very best record are the Illinois, New York. I don't know. California is actually fairly high. But the larger states and the more, I guess, what we would say, metropolitan areas, mm-hmm. the ones with the greater metropolitan areas, seem to be doing better than the rural areas. We're sort of like Des Moines counties. We're doing better than some. Linn County is the highest one in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I think Johnson County is right behind them, and Polk's about number three right now. But anyway, it is city of Burlington. Business, you've got a project going on, street project going on. I know Central and South. You've got a street project on Harrison. Mm-hmm. Any other street projects going on?
There's going to be the Central and South will eventually move to South and Madison. So that road's going to continue to be, as they work on some sewer work there, it's going to be a little bit tough, especially with Harrison. Those are the two main arterials. So people are going to have to reroute their traffic for a while. We're doing some patching on Barrett. Barrett is not in the greatest of shape, but we're doing some patching on that to make sure that it can handle the additional traffic from Harrison. And what
There's
else do we have?
There's some seal coating going on.
Seal coating going on.
Right.
So.
And I know Nick McGregor has done a great job of combining, making sure that you're not doing a double street. In other words, if there's sewer work mm-hmm. that needs to be done, he's doing that
I really admire that, because it's always been frustrating growing up in here in Burlington when you see them freshly pave or asphalt a road and then 3 weeks later they're tearing it up for a problem. Now we could still use a little more cooperation from some of the city utilities and other utilities like the waterworks.
How are we doing in terms of, I know we've got the TAMA project. Where do we stand on the TAMA project?
It goes to bid July 14th, I believe.
And when does the...
And he thinks it's about a year to complete.
Okay. And the Tiger Grant, that's going to bid when?
That's out to bid right now as well. I think it's either July 19th is when we're supposed to have that.
And that has going to bid now because it was rejected because too high a price.
We only had one bidder. We had one bidder, and it was way over budget. Okay. And so we took some things out of it, mainly cleaned up the language.
The language was so ambiguous that I think some...
Because it's a federal program.
Now, the other apartment project down the street from the Tambor project, where do we stand on that one, John?
The Churchill?
Yes.
They're working on that. In fact, you go by there, you can see there's activity going on. The Blau, its sister building, the Blau building's wide open. They're already filling up the parking lot there. In fact, there's been some discussion about maybe putting a little mini dog park at the end of that parking lot. So we're going to look at that coming up in a few of the work sessions. And then the other one is the Merge project, with the old Burlington PD and the Elks building. That's been leveled. They're prepping that ground to start construction there. So.
And the boutique hotel that was being talked about, is that still is there still some talk of that?
We have a group working called Creative Placemaking that's working on that. They're trying to identify someone that may be interested in running a boutique hotel. We've got a few buildings that would lend itself to that. Also, they're earmarking a couple of buildings for maybe a downtown grocery store.
So it's things keep on they keep on moving and keep on rolling. Downtown Burlington, as far as we know, the eclectic mix of restaurants in downtown Burlington is truly a remarkable change from a decade ago, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, there's some rumors out right now that maybe Case is going to combine some lines and move some lines. We've been in contact with them, and the goal is that they want to refocus on the main lines here at the Case plant, which could ensure its viability for years to come. So there's always that trepidation, though, as corporate decisions are made. But, you know, combined, the city, the county, the chamber, and other organizations are always working to mitigate those decisions. You know, we have Integra pool covers in the old Siemens building. They have 80 jobs. 40 of those are going to be over the $21 threshold. There's a lot of activity on the ABB, the former GE building. A lot of hotbed activity. They really got Jeremy over at the chamber busy.
Well, and what I've heard, and when we talked to Jeremy, I was talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of these places that had businesses that were located in California, maybe they were located in Oregon, maybe in Washington State. As turbulent as things were in those places, they were looking for some place with stability, and the Midwest seemed to be a far more stable place than what they were seeing in terms of where they were.
Yeah,
and
we had the one company came.
Our chief of police, basically, that's what brought us in here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had one company come located in the Raiders Precast building, Deep Root or True Root Irrigation. I can't remember their official name. But there, you know, it's going to be 50 jobs there by the time they're done. So, you know, there's always scary times, but as long as we're working together, we can address those things.
And you'll be, well, you got, as I said, the call is out now for council members.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bill, you've been on, how long have you been on the council?
A year and a half.
A year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing most new council members face is the budget process. How tough of a process is that?
This last one was a little bit easier. The first time, you know, you're just coming in, and you have a lot of homework to do.
Okay.
But after that, you kind of get the swing of things and understand what's going on, and it was better.
It's better. Okay.
It's not. It's never
easy.
Didn't
say fun.
It's never easy.
All right. It's sort of like once you have a root canal, it's the second one doesn't feel as bad either. There's no need to fear.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, I want to thank John Billups,
thank you,
Mayor.
Sir.
I want to thank Bill Maupin for
joining us
today. It's been fun. Maybe it's not been a lot of. We've had some serious business, but a lot of reminiscing, and maybe that's just fine too, because it's all just for fun anyway, right?
You're a wonderful little town, Burlington. Believe in it.
There it is. Thanks, guys.